the rule in chinuch when it comes to educating our children is that as bad as you think your child has behaved today, don't worry, tomorrow he'll surprise you with worse. There's a rule in chinuch that says you always have to remember that your child will still outdo what he did today. Parents sometimes use all their ammunition on their child. A parent can yell and hit and ground and take away privileges. And why? Because the kid wrote on the bathroom wall, the kid spilled juice on the father's laptop and destroyed it. Great. Now that you've done that, what are you going to do tomorrow when he yells dirty words at his teacher and he pours juice on all of the school's laptops and he writes all over the school walls? Children are always capable of doing one worse. And you know what? We were all children. And we always have to remember to save, to hold back. Parents sometimes make the mistake of upping the notch too early. When I'm walking in the street and I see a kid walking ahead of his parent and the parent says, "Come back now," I think to myself, boy, that parent's really messing up. If you were a good parent, then what you'd first say is, "Come back." And then when you have to up the notch, you'll say, "Come back now." If you begin with "come back now," what's your next notch? Now you're wailing. Wait a second, of course. Now you understand that if you say "come back now" very often, then "come back now" becomes "come back." And if you wail too often, then wailing becomes "come back now." So what we do is we develop within a child he gets used to what the parent says. And he grades it. Okay, when mommy says "come back now," it means she wants me to come back. When mommy starts wailing "come back now," it means she means business. When mommy says "if you don't come back now," so that's when I really better listen. But you realize that the parent could downgrade it a lot. And by the parents upping the notch, so they're making their own lives more difficult. They're training the child what to think when they speak. Now, this is true not only with children, it's true with whoever we deal with. It could be true with our spouse, it could be true with our coworker, with our roommate. People who scream often are taken less seriously when they scream. People who threaten often, and their threats are taken less seriously. A person has to think, and even if a person is unsuccessful at thinking right away because we're all used to certain norms, a person has to gauge oneself. If we're not going to do it bishat maaseh, at the time of action, a person should at least step back at the end of the day and gauge themselves. Is what I am doing in the best interest of my spouse? Is what I'm doing in the best interest of my kids? A guy comes and says, "My wife is so pressured, she's always uptight and yelling at the kids." So I say, "Yeah, and what do you do?" So he says, "I yell at her. I tell her, stop yelling." So I say, "Okay, so what are you doing?" So he says, "I'm telling her to calm down." So I tell him, "Okay, you're yelling at her to calm down is what's going to calm her down?" Now, if you think about it, we do this all the time. We take the route that is most convenient for us, that is most direct for us. When we want to get a point across, so this is what I have to say, so I'm going to tell you. So if a guy has a roommate that keeps leaving the garbage all over the floor, so he's going to start yelling at him, "Stop leaving the garbage all over the floor. It's not fair. The room's a mess. The room's a pigsty. Where'd you grow up?" That's the direct route. That's the route of saying, this is what I want to tell you, so this is what I'm going to tell you. If the guy would stop and think, and think how to get the point across. Maybe I'll figure out better ways of saying it. If a person thinks before he speaks, then he could be far more productive. One of the best tips is to strengthen the positive. We're often quick to remark on the negative. And every one of us responds far more positively to the positive. This is a rule that if you just apply it, even in action, you'll see how it can work. A parent comes to the child and the child just drew with the crayons when he shouldn't have drawn. The parent said, we'll draw after supper, and the kid started drawing before supper. The parent can come over and say, why'd you draw before supper? I told you you're going to draw with the crayons after supper. The child doesn't have a choice but to listen to the parent, right? He's the child, that's the parent. So what's he going to do? Okay, you're right, I'm sorry. Good case scenario. The parent can come over to the child and say, you drew such a nice painting. I would much prefer if next time you wait till after supper. Remember I told you to do it after supper? Let's next time leave it for after supper. Said the same thing with the positive. Now, at a younger age, children don't even understand the negative. Meaning, I learned this when I was a magician. So one of the books on doing magic shows for children taught this point, that if you're performing, you're doing a magic show, and you want all the kids to sit behind the line, and a kid steps forward past the line, if you're going to tell them, I told you not to step past the line, you'll get nowhere. You tell them you're not allowed to go beyond the line, you'll get nowhere. You tell them, take a step behind the line, they'll get somewhere. Tell them what yes to do, don't tell them what not to do. There's an age when children don't even understand the no, they only understand the yes. So you have to tell them, I want you to sit behind that line. You go take two steps behind the line, stay there. He could understand that. You tell him, don't walk past the line. Children don't understand it. There's an age where they just don't understand it. Now, that could be the age of 2, 2.5, 3. It could reach, I mean, some people at 19, 20, 21. They're different ages. Depends on who we're dealing with. But we have to remember that the positive is always more productive. So if a guy, he wants his spouse to go to sleep on time. This is one of the most common peeves of the Jewish home. They go to sleep late and they can't get to bed at a normal hour. So you walk into from communities, you see the lights lit till 11, 12 o'clock at night. Israelis don't have this issue. Americans are, it's a much bigger problem by Americans. Israelis are catching on, unfortunately, but it's a bigger problem by Americans, Canadians, Europeans. This staying up late business. So if a spouse can only catch the time that they do get to go to sleep on time and then strengthen the positive, you know, I appreciate it so much. It was so good. My whole day was different. I got up, I had strength, I was on time. My whole day was great, and all day I was thinking how great and how appreciative I was of you. And that brings us to the other point. Very often when people compliment, when we rebuke, we have no problem saying you. You left the door unlocked. You forgot to take out the garbage last night. You overcharged the credit card. Whenever we have an issue, we have no problem using the word you. When we want to say something positive, then suddenly we don't speak about the other person. Supper was great. The food was delicious. Why can't we say you cooked an excellent meal? You made amazing meatloaf. The salad you made was phenomenal. We don't say that. The supper was delicious. The salad was out of this world. That dress looks great. How about saying, you look great in that dress? The rebuke, we have no problem saying directly to the person. It should be the other way around. And you'll notice the kids are very good at this. When you start toilet training a kid, so very often when they wet their pants, they'll tell you, the pants got wet. It happened. How'd they get wet? I don't know. They got wet. When they do something positive, look at the drawing I drew. We have to learn to apply this to our spouses as well. When we say something positive, we have to use the you. And when we have something that's less than positive to say, So firstly, we have to think 10 times if we should say it all together. And this brings us into the rules of rebuke. Rule number one, avoid it. Rule number two, avoid it. Rule number three, avoid it. Rule number four, avoid it. Rule number five, if you really think you have to say it, then avoid it. Now rule number six. Why do we stress avoiding it? Because what usually happens in a marriage is that we have no problem making any comment to our spouse. They're fair game. What we wouldn't say to anyone else, we'll say to our spouse. They wake up in the morning, why didn't you use the mouthwash before we took? Every little thing that's absolutely degrading, we have no problem saying to our spouse. Why? That's wrong. It's 100% wrong. It should be the other way around. They're the most precious person in our life. By what right do we treat them that way? And we have to know, the first thing that people claim when it comes to rebuking is, but I'm right. She does talk too loudly, all the neighbors hear what she has to say. But I'm right. She does burn the chont every week. But I'm right. She does buy in the stores where she overpays. But I'm right. She's crazy that she thinks all the cakes and cookies and everything have to be homemade. But I'm right. The kids don't need Gap clothing and to spend a 2,000 shekel every month on new clothing. The first claim that you hear from the guy is, but I'm right. The discussion is not about whether you're right or wrong. You have to know that every time you rebuke, you're distancing from your spouse. And before we continue about rebuke, which we'll, Be'ezrat Hashem, next time we'll have to expand on, I want us to recognize a concept which, if we only learn this concept in all of our class, then we have a tremendous key to building a good home. At the root of a woman's desire, and this is really a man's desire as well, but by a woman it's spelled out more clearly, at the root of what she wants out of marriage is the feeling that her husband is happy with her. Meaning, if she... Let's take an example. She left the car doors unlocked. The car got stolen. Okay? He begged her many, many times to lock the car. We won't mention the fact that he never has to come home with 15 kids and deal with this one that's running into the street and that one that's going to the neighbor's house and this one that's pulling the hair off the cat and that one that's trying a fork in the socket. He never deals with all the kids at once, but she does. And yet... it makes sense to him that she should lock the car when she leaves the car, and she didn't. And then he comes home, he understands she didn't lock the car, the car got stolen. It's the third time she didn't lock the car, and the car got stolen. Their car insurance is not going to cover a third theft in 1 year, and he gets upset. What usually happens, she gets hurt, but she also gets upset at him. And one of the things that men get most upset at is, why are you getting upset at me? I don't understand. I was upset at you a minute ago. Now you're upset at me. For what? So at the root of it is that she's upset because you're upset at her. When the man shows the woman that he is upset at her, in her mind, that is tantamount to, you don't like me, you hate me, you're sorry you ever married me, You wish I weren't a part of your life, and therefore you wish you could ground me to dirt. How could you tell me all of that? It's like the girl who was standing in the store and asked her husband, this dress is a little small on me. So he says, yeah. And she bursts into tears. So the storekeeper asks her, what's wrong? So she says, my husband said I'm the fattest woman in the world. But did he say that? Psychiatric problem. Okay, Danny, let's talk 2 years into marriage. Just remember that I said so, okay? Just remember I said so. I when it happens, at least you won't say it's a psychiatric problem, because that's I'm telling you that. Okay. Okay, but so the concept is that what she wants most is to have the feeling that her spouse is happy with her, And the feeling that hurts her the most is the feeling that he's not. And this Be'ez Hashem will develop Be'ez Hashem next time.